We all recognize that insider trading is illegal. Every year we see corporate executives and the ones who trade on their confidential tips go to jail. But what is outsider trading? Here's an example. Say I'm injured by product A. I consult an attorney who agrees that we have a great case and starts preparing to file a lawsuit. Product A is manufactured by Products Inc., which is traded on the New York Stock Exchange at $40 a share. Before we file, I purchase a derivative, which obligates me to sell and someone else to buy Products Inc. shares for $50 a share in 6 months. We file the lawsuit and the stock price declines to $30 in 6 months. I pocket $20 a share. In other words, I shorted the stock based on my non-public information. My stock trade isn't illegal, though, because I'm not an insider and I didn't get the information from an insider or anyone under a duty to Products Inc. Here's a real-life example. Bill Ekman runs a hedge fund, Pershing Square Capital Management. He's disclosed that he has shorted stock of Herbalife to the tune of $1 billion if the stock goes down. Since taking his short position over a year ago, Ekman has waged a very aggressive and expensive campaign to get state and federal legislators to encourage the SEC and FTC to investigate Herbalife for being an illegal pyramid scheme that preys on minority groups. So far, Ekman has spent millions of dollars, but Herbalife's stock price has actually increased. Nevertheless, these tactics have paid off for Ekman in the past, and he is very persistent. Recently, the FTC announced that it would begin an investigation. The Herbalife story may give us pause, but articulating a theory on which to base a law prohibiting outsider trading is difficult. My late mentor, Larry Rubstein, argued that outsider trading provides incentives for outsiders such as whistleblowers to make bad information public. My lawsuit against Products Inc. may be successful, but only after a lot of time, effort, and attorney's fees. Being able to take a financial position in products that will be profitable if my case decreases the stock price can provide me with an additional incentive to go public with my injuries caused by the product. Likewise, Ekman seems to truly believe that the public needs to be warned about Herbalife's business model. However, he gets no reward or bounty if the investigation proves fruitful. But if his short position repays him for his efforts, then both Ekman and the public win, though he has now pledged any profits to charity. Another argument against regulation is that we would have to prohibit both shorting a company and rooting for its failure and investing in a company and working for its success. What if Ekman had purchased an option to buy Herbalife stock in the future, knowing that he intended to spend the next year touting Herbalife in the press or lobbying Congress to give the company some sort of tax break or other subsidy? Or maybe I'm a famous actress that has been offered a job as a spokesperson for a cosmetics company. I purchase stock in the company and then accept the job, knowing that my future efforts will lift the company's profile and the stock price. These activities don't sound as cringeworthy as betting on working toward a company's downfall, but legally they are hard to distinguish. However, there is the possibility that the derivatives market gives super-rich guys like Ekman the ability to just spot a vulnerable company, short the stock, then proceed with the Wall Street equivalent of a first grader yelling, "Billy has the cooties," until the stock plummets. The short seller makes a billion, but there's no corresponding social benefit, just the loss of a decent company. This is Christine Hurt.